90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston. And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbi, gay, and transgender community. This is Queer Voices.
Good evening, this is Jack Falinski.
And Jennifer Renee.
Brian Levinka.
Daniel Williams.
Sarah Iman.
And Glenn Holt. And tonight on Queer Voices, this past Thursday, the vote by the board of HISD was unanimous. The vote followed the second reading of expanded language for their employment non-discrimination policy. That language will now include sexual orientation, gender identity, and or expression as part of the official policy of the district. Our own Jennifer Poole will report on this important development, which she herself was instrumental in creating. Then in news wrap, several gay-owned and oriented clubs and shops were vandalized this past week in the rioting that spread across England. Meanwhile, the promotion of the discredited reparative therapy is spreading in Europe, while the U.S. Anti-Equality National Organization for Marriage has now lost two legal battles in Rhode Island and Maine in which it challenged political donor disclosure laws. After news wrap, Julia Clare and Jonathan Lopez will join us from Continuum. It's a group of Houston performance artists who joined together to encourage each other's self-discovery through performance and to promote expressive performance by others. In the feature segments from This Way Out, the Obama administration may consider the Defense of Marriage Act to be unconstitutional, but its own immigration policy is still using the law against binational lesbian and gay couples. This Way Out looks at one longtime gay couple whom the federal government is trying to split up using DOMA. And an award finalist at the 2011 Sundance Film Festival, Gun Hill Road, will open in U.S. theaters this month. It's the story of a young man exploring his gender and sexuality in an intolerant and judgmental world, and his exploration's impact on his relationship with himself and with his parents. Jack?
Well, of course, the big news is the HISD vote, but we'll be talking about that in our first segment. Also, we had the Transgender Conference this week. Daniel, you were there, and Jennifer, I guess you were there.
Yeah, I was there. I presented on the Saturday afternoon. And it was the Transgender Non-Discrimination Summit.
Which, and if you've never been to the summit before, it's an incredible experience. This is the third one. It brings together college students from across the state to discuss ways to lobby their administrations for inclusive non-discrimination policies at their campuses.
It was very nice that University of Houston hosted it, the main campus. And I only got to be there for a short while because I had other things to do, but I'm really glad it happened, and it looked like it was very well organized.
It was very well organized. And I think it's important to note, though, that University of Houston was not the original site for this conference. The conference was originally scheduled to take place at Texas A&M. However, after a series of incidents and letters in the student newspaper over the spring, organizers were concerned that the campus was not safe for attendees of the conference and relocated it to the University of Houston.
And tonight, we are raising money. KPFT is part of the Pacifica Foundation. You've heard this before. We've been doing it here since 1993 on this show. And KPFT has had a presence with a radio show that's aimed at the GLBT community since 1975. That's a lot of commitment for a radio station that depends a lot on its listeners to help raise the money to keep us going. You know that we're all volunteers on this show. Majority of the people you hear on KPFT are volunteers. There's a very small staff. But what's really important is that we do programming aimed at the community that you won't hear anywhere else. So we're asking you, so that we could get back to our show and do what we like to do, is to call us at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT.
on the moon, there is dust in space. There is dust on the stars, dust in a clouded place. There is dust in the road, there is dust on the cars. Just climbing up each blade of grass, feeling up the yard. Nothing sticks to you. Now you're moving too fast to touch. You make me feel so still. Dust on the gate, there is dust on the porch. There is dust coming in through the cracks in the door. There is dust on the carpet, now there's dust on the rugs. Moving every picture frame to every picture of us. I used to feel the world moving underneath my feet. Every chance I seemed to get was a vehicle for me. Then you have to hit the jackpot of my biggest dreams. And now I see you at the cashier and I'm turning. Too fast to touch. You make me feel so still. Like I'm collecting dust. We're all smiles and compliments underneath bread and beer. Candy shells, how sugar shine. Angry bitter wine. Twisting, turning. Dust in my scars, dust in my eyes, dust in my heart, dust in my head, dust in my ears, dust in my skin, dust in my nose, dust in my teeth, dust in my soul.
That was Eric Hyman, the name of the song Dust, from an album called Supposed Unknown, released this year.
Every week we get letters, emails, and phone calls saying thanks. Thanks for playing a piece of music. Thanks for keeping listeners up to date on events in our area. Thanks for introducing our fans to new talent. Now we're asking you to say thanks in a very tangible way. We're asking you to make a pledge. When you call with your contribution, you'll be providing us with the resources we need to keep bringing you the new talent, to keep informing you on events at clubs and concert halls, to bring you great news, to keep playing that favorite tune you can hear nowhere else. Call now with your pledge, 713-526-5738. That's 713-526-KPFT. You can also help on our secure website at kpft.org. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio. KPFT, Houston.
This is Queer Voices.
This is Brian Levinka.
And Jennifer Renee. And, as Jack said earlier, and we actually had something over the last month or so about the Houston Independent School District, and we talked about several times about activities that I had, and Chris Busby, who's also here in the studio with us. But the final step was last Thursday, which was the second reading of the expanded non-discrimination language, which was going to cover employees and teachers. And that language was sexual orientation, gender identity, and or expression was added to it.
And the key part is the gender identity and expression.
Exactly.
That's the thing that we were working, our community was working so hard to
We were doing that because it without it, you're leaving a segment of the community out. A segment, not as many people that are transgender in the community as a whole, but a very important part of it because historically, which I always like to remind people, that the real Stonewall began a year or so earlier at Compton's cafeteria in San Francisco when the police were harassing the transgender prostitutes at Compton's cafeteria early in the morning, and they would go in and harass them and arrest them for very minor things. But this was one time that they said no, which caused a several-week riot. And after that, San Francisco was never the same again. And set up the scenario that one day Harvey Milk would be elected to the Board of Supervisors. Then Stonewall, which was the similar situation, it was the trans people whom the police loved to harass more than any other group, said no, which was the spark that started, sort of like the shot heard around the world, the spark that started the riots that lasted for weeks. And fortunately, there was a mayor of New York that said, you know what, maybe we should change. Maybe our city should change instead of keep fighting it. And so it all started. So this is a big deal.
So this is the final. It's enacted. It's on the books. Is this everything?
This is it. It's
we're,
on
we,
the books.
We have it. Okay.
It's there.
Okay.
It's there. So, and quite honestly, I've been holding my breath.
Well, I was going to ask you, Jennifer, this didn't start last month or a few months ago. This started years ago.
Yeah, very much so. And the truth being that it's been an ongoing need, and various people have tried at various times to try to move the ball forward. But it really began, this final success began in earnest 3.5 years ago, when after leaving the presidency of the caucus, at where I had promised that we were going to do this, and we didn't get it done under my presidency, that I had the time to focus on it and that only. No other issue was on my agenda except HISD.
And who were you calling? I remember we had a watch. We were every week we would update.
Oh God! Well, it's the I don't even want to say now because he voted. Ah. But the truth was there was one of the board members that I would call, and he wouldn't return my phone call, and he wouldn't talk to me if I saw him in public at these board meetings. And so I would come in, and this was that whole, for this is 2 years ago now. I would come in and say, well, it's week so-and-so that so-and-so board member has not returned my phone call.
So what has changed? I mean, was it getting new members on the HISD board, or was it just changes in society and our community, or how did we get to this point now?
It was good luck. Now, you know what good luck is?
A lot of work.
It is when opportunity meets preparation.
Yeah.
And so what happened was years of preparation, getting the language right, getting the administration where they were on board, with the legal on board, board members changing, presidents of the board, changing of superintendents. All of these things over a period of 3 years made the difference. And unfortunately, the death of several children due to bullying brought it front and center that even the ones that would have said no in the past suddenly saw that, you know, this is really important.
This is happening here.
It's happening here. It's happening in our own neighborhood. Children are killing themselves because we haven't taken action to protect their expression of how they express their gender, whether they be, you know, gay or whether they're transgender, or maybe they just express their gender differently.
They're just a little different.
They're just a little
now,
different.
I know that Chris Busby was also involved in...
Oh. Without Chris, there's no way it would have finally reached its ultimate. I mean, there are a lot of people involved, but I was out there all by myself. I'd asked for help from elected officials and other people, and they were too busy or just didn't believe that it could change. And then Chris came along and said, we can do it. I believe, and with Chris's energy and just doing it, we got it done. So thank you, Chris.
Well, thank you for your kind words, Jennifer. This is Chris Busby. I'm president of the Houston Log Cabin Republicans. And I've been working with Jennifer on this policy for, I've been working on it for 2 years
two
now.
Years.
Jennifer, you've
that
been
working.
That
lonely first year.
I know. It seemed like almost like we were hitting our heads against a wall for a long time, but, you know, each time we were hitting our heads, it was actually making a small dent in progress.
Mm-hmm. So Chris, why are you so passionate about this? What was driving you? What fired you up?
Well, first of all, education has been a major issue for me my entire life. My family's is involved in education, principals, teachers, professors. I myself am going for my teaching certification. So education personally is a major issue for me, protecting students, protecting teachers, and making sure that our education, everybody is able to get a solid education without fear of discrimination or harassment. And I guess on a social level, I felt that HISD was ready for change, even if its board and its administration wasn't quite there yet. And I felt that all it took was a little push in the right direction, and we could see policy change.
Well, and two, HISD being the largest K through 12
school district
in Texas, if we looked at it as if we could get them to change, then their leadership could cause other school districts to do the same.
So.
People, there are a lot of followers out there, and the followers in language, and everybody's comfortable where they are. Why should I on the board do anything if I'm comfortable where I am?
They have to get reelected, and you know, going against the status quo.
That's right. You know,
making change is causing waves.
But by focusing our efforts on HISD, and then ultimately, as we've done, winning and getting the language, suddenly they become the leader. And in part of this process and the Transgender Summit, people took back the ideas that we were doing here back to Dallas. And it looks like very soon Dallas Independent School District will also move in line, along with Fort Worth and Austin.
So Houston was the first school district in the state to do this?
Yes. Yes.
And so we have the other major urban centers now starting to
Were also coming along. I mean, I think it was a perfect storm, that its time was right. The work had been done over a longer period of time here in Houston to make it happen.
Right. And once Houston does it, then it can be done here, then it can be done other places.
Exactly. You can go to one of the other school districts, and this part of our strategy is to find all the school districts that already have, like, sexual orientation somewhere in their policies.
And just expanding it.
And then just say, well, you know what you really need? Look what HISD, they found it where they needed to expand it to include all this language.
Mm-hmm.
Would y'all consider doing so? And then they would pick up the phone, call HISD, and our people on the team of administrators will say, yeah, this is why we did it. And our hope is that over the next few years, more school districts will fall in line and have fully inclusive non-discrimination.
It's amazing to think about it in that way, that you started a trend in the state of Texas. Yeah. And that other school districts are now following. That's amazing.
Brian, can I take up on something you said a little bit earlier?
Uh-oh, is it good or bad?
That's good, and also a little bit intriguing, is that you mentioned earlier that a lot of politicians might be hesitant to support these policies because they were afraid it might hurt their reelection chances. And we had a unanimous vote on the board both times, and some of these members are coming from very, very conservative districts. But what we found that's surprising more than anything else is that this issue has completely and totally flown under the radar. We were able to become the second school district in Texas to make this policy change, and yet no major media outlet has covered it.
Why?
Nor have many GLBT publications covered
right.
it.
Right. You know, which is why I took the time to report, take out my, you know, I do play the reporter here on Queer Voices, and I went out and, you know, after it was all said and done, which it was a big non-event.
It was non-event, exactly.
But when we started, when Chris and I would sit there and drink coffee at Starbucks and talk about strategy, that was what it was. We want this to be when it finally passes, to be a non-event. No one speaks against it. Actually, no media shows up, because it is so right in doing it that there's no protest against it.
Absolutely. And I guess that's the good thing.
It is.
That it's not newsworthy because it's everyone's cool with it.
It is historic in the sense to our community this has moved forward. It is historic in the state of Texas. However, because the way the society has changed, it really was a non-news event, which is just absolutely remarkable. Right after the vote, we stepped outside and I interviewed a couple of people, and I just asked a couple of questions. And the first one was Brandon Wolf. And if you'll play cut number one.
I'm with Brandon Wolf, and we just left the HISD boardroom where the second reading of the fully inclusive non-discrimination has just passed unanimously, 8-0. Brandon, how does that make you feel today?
It makes me feel very excited to be here tonight at such a historic event.
Yeah, you've been around this community for a long time, and you've seen a lot of changes. How is this one rank up with some of the others you've hit?
I think this is a big one because we've got such a big school system here, and it'll obviously trickle down and impact other school districts in the country.
Well, also, Brandon's a member of the community, been around a long time, and was there at every one of the votes. He's sort of been following it. He's been one of
the... He reports for Outsmart Magazine.
He reports for Outsmart Magazine, and that's why he was there. The other one, I even got a quote from Chris Busby, so let's go to cut two.
So I think this is a positive step forward. I think it's important for it to be in effect for employees, too, so that they can better protect their students. And especially in Texas, we need to have as many school districts as possible who are standing up and protecting their students in lieu of state policy that will not probably be in effect for a long time to come. So we can change policy at the largest school district in Texas. We can change policy anywhere.
Yeah, and that's the words what we were talking about a moment ago. We also had Robert Shipman, who is president of the
Houston Stonewall Young Democrat.
Yes, absolutely. He was there. He's been following along. He's been one of the, along with Chris and myself, has been working diligently with the people behind him to see this happen. When we needed to fill seats, there were organizations that came forward to do that. Let's hear what Robert had to say. Cut three.
I'm with Robert Shipman.
Well, I just think this is a really important step for our community. It represents that Houston is one of the most progressive cities in the nation. It's going to allow HISD to not only retain its exceptional teaching talent, but recruit new. And I think it's amazing that we're on par with other cities of this caliber.
Now, in June, they passed the anti-bullying or the student code of conduct, which is fully inclusive language. And how did it make you feel?
It gave me great hope for tonight. And in that first reading, you know, we worked really hard on that. We worked at the state level for this as well. So it shows little bit by little bit we're making progress.
You know, one of the last person I grabbed was Zeph Capo, who is a representative of the teachers union, was there. And he had a couple of nice comments I'd like to cover.
I'm speaking to Zeph Capo, a representative of the teachers union. I know that the teachers union has been working behind the scenes for a long time for this. How does it feel to finally have a fully inclusive non-discrimination?
Well, it's phenomenal. It's exciting for us to know that all of our employees, our teachers, our support personnel will be free to support our students, free to express themselves, that they are a step closer to being treated as equal citizens.
This has been a long time coming. I know my involvement's a little over 3.5 years, but you've been at it a whole lot longer than I have, haven't you?
Right. We started having these issues when I came out of the classroom. I represented a gentleman who had issues with parents because they didn't want the kids in his classroom. He was an elderly gentleman. He was very soft-spoken, and they thought that he was gay, and they pegged it just because of what they thought in looks or mannerisms or acts, and treated him very differently. It caused him difficulty at the school. He was one of the best teachers, worked very hard, and it was very sad to see that type of action happen. We can't control how everybody out there feels. However, we certainly can control how we treat our employees as an entity, as an employer, and as a part of the local government service.
What you just described is the exact reason why it has gender expression. because it's perceived, not actual, whether gay or lesbian or trans. It's about how someone perceives someone, and that's why gender expression is part of it.
And those were the just a few people that we talked to right after it was over with, but it sort of gave you an overview of how it impacted so many people, and especially the impact that it's going to have on teachers.
Absolutely, and not only here, but, I mean, across the state.
Across the state. It was an historic evening, even though there were no fanfares or bands playing, and there wasn't any news people there covering it. You can watch what happened on HISD TV, though.
Well, I'm sad that it didn't get more coverage, but I'm kind of happy that, you know, we've gotten closer to equality, one little small step closer, and it wasn't a big deal, you know?
True equality is when it's really no big deal.
And can I say one thing is that there's a lot of comments on hoping that this spreads across the state, trickles down to other districts. Well, one thing I will say, though, is that this will only happen if we make it happen. HISD did not make this change on its own. I mean, certainly the HISD administration decided to make this change, but it was only after a long period of lobbying for this change. So it takes each and every one of us out in the community to decide to stand up and be an advocate for our community.
Absolutely.
Equality is never granted. It is always
That's
demanded.
Right. I want to take a moment to thank all of the people, unnamed and named, that contributed to our ultimate victory last Thursday.
You know what? And Jennifer, I want to thank you for stepping up and working on this for so long, and you to Chris. I've been with you the whole time on the radio, and I've kind of seen it go through, and I'm very excited that it's finally happened.
It was a labor of love, and, you know, very rarely in a person's life do you see something you passionately want to see happen, and not for yourself, but for others, and to see it come to pass.
Thank you, Jennifer. And this is Queer Voices.
You know, KPFT is all about social change. That last segment basically was talking about that. Social change in so many different ways. Social change and so many different directions that we need to do in this city and in this town. And KPFT is really the only voice where you can get this type of information and type of organizing. And yes, there's a lot of more nicer things like the internet and Twitter and all of that, and those are wonderful, but we're here. We're here for the airwaves that everybody has access to. We don't charge you to listen to KPFT, but we hope if you're able to do that, that you can make a contribution to keep this station going and to keep the so many different movements of social change and justice that we aim for here in this city. KPFT is your only voice. You know, there's on the AM dial, there was a news station. Well, that station doesn't even do news anymore. It's all talk and it's all sort of propaganda about one thing. Yeah, we do propaganda too, but hopefully as you listen to the station, you hear different points of view about so many different things, and that you feel that this station is part of your life and the life that really, really matters, that we're trying to make social change. Call us at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT.
If you plan to call today or later this week to renew your membership, please consider increasing your contribution. As you've probably heard in the news, Congress has often considered slashing budgets for public interest services. As a result, federal funding for public radio may be reduced. That funding may even be eliminated. Though only a small percentage of KPFT's budget comes from federal funding, this funding crisis means that your contribution is more important now than ever. Please consider increasing your contribution if you can. Every dollar you contribute will make a big difference in the music and news you've come to appreciate from KPFT. Call 713-526-5738 to make your tax-deductible contribution or pledge online at kpft.org. Again, that number is 713-526-KPFT. Pledge now. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio. KPFT, Houston.
Natalie Peebles.
And I'm John Torres.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending August 13th, 2011. Gay's the Word, the UK's oldest and only remaining LGBT bookstore, was targeted during the riots that rocked London and other British cities this week. Damage included a smashed front window that cost about £1,300 to replace, and the destruction of an unknown number of manuscripts and other material caused by pelted eggs. An assistant manager told the UK's Pink News that homophobia seems to have fueled the attack because no other shops in the area had their windows broken. The Pink paper reported that the violence also sparked a warehouse fire that claimed the stock of Peccadillo Pictures, a gay business in London's Enfield section. Rioting began in the economically disadvantaged and racially diverse Tottenham neighborhood in northern London, following a controversial police shooting death. The violence spilled into other districts and spread to other cities in the most serious social unrest in Britain in 25 years. More than 1,000, mostly young people, have been arrested, and there have been numerous injuries. The UK Gay News reported that a number of businesses in Birmingham's gay village were also attacked and looted earlier this week in the early morning hours, and that most of the gay bars and other businesses in the area were closed in the late afternoon the following day. Some gay venues in the gay village in Manchester were also looted, but organizers of that city's 21st annual Pride Festival and Parade said it would be celebrated as scheduled on August 13th and 14th.
Thousands celebrated LGBT Pride for the first time in Prague on August 13th with a parade through the Czech capital. It capped a five-day festival that included concerts, films, seminars, exhibitions, and parties. Dozens of right-wing extremists shouted abusive slogans along the parade route. But about 300 police officers guarded the Pride participants to prevent any physical confrontations. Czech President Václav Klaus criticized 13 Western ambassadors for their petition in support of the Pride celebration earlier in the week. He also refused to distance himself from his deputy chancellor, whose comments calling gays and lesbians deviants prompted the petition. Czech-born openly lesbian tennis icon Martina Navratilova criticized Klaus in a message to the parade for his extremely homophobic and unenlightened remarks.
But about 80 Dutch Defense Ministry personnel, military and civilian, led Amsterdam's 16th annual LGBT Pride Flotilla aboard their own boat for the first time on August 6th down one of the city's historic canals. U.S. gay military activist Lieutenant Dan Choi was a special guest. British Royal Navy Lieutenant Commander Mandy McBain and Dutch generals were also aboard. Dutch defense personnel had participated in uniform in the Pride Flotilla the past 2 years, but on board other groups' boats. The crowd lining the canal, estimated at more than 400,000, also cheered about 80 other boats, representing the city's sports clubs, bars, police force, teachers, and other groups. It was the highlight of a week-long festival with the overall theme of All Together Now, that featured more than 300 different events, ranging from concerts and art exhibits to dance parties and a film festival, and the ever-popular Drag Queen Olympics, with contests like the stiletto race and the long-distance handbag toss.
But media outlets in Zimbabwe are headlining the arrests of five men for engaging in what they're calling acts of sexual immorality. A 55-year-old white male and four young black men are behind bars. The arrest came after a shop owner noticed the young black men spending money in an unspecified, unusual manner and alerted police. Neighbors where the acts were allegedly committed told the Zimbabwe Broadcasting Corporation that the men had violated cultural norms and the laws of nature. Private consensual adult gay sex is harshly punished in Zimbabwe. President Robert Mugabe has notoriously called lesbians and gay men worse than dogs and pigs. Police raided the office of the country's LGBT advocacy group, Gays and Lesbians of Zimbabwe, in May. Two employees were jailed and charged with possessing material that insulted Mugabe, a criminal offense in the southern African country, and with possession of pornography. They were each acquitted of all charges and released several weeks later.
A government minister in Ghana last month ordered the immediate arrest of all gays and lesbians and anyone who fails to report a suspected gay or lesbian to the authorities. The Presbyterian Church of Ghana announced this week that it's now establishing therapy centers to cure and rehabilitate what the Ghana News Agency called homosexual victims. It said the church's leader, the Right Reverend Professor Emmanuel Marte, claimed that gays and lesbians in the West African country would be cured if they prayed regularly. According to the report, he also called on the government to come out with a clear position on homosexuality in the country to enable the church to offer the necessary support in helping to reduce the spread of the practice in the society. The Presbyterian Church of Ghana is not affiliated with the Presbyterian Church USA, which this year approved the ordination of openly gay clergy.
So-called pray away the gay therapy is widely discredited by mental health professionals, but is still promoted by the U.S. religious right and by Christian and Muslim fundamentalists elsewhere, particularly in Africa. And according to a Deutsche Welle report this week, there is increasing concern among LGBT rights groups that reparative therapy quacks are multiplying in Europe. For example, the report said, in the Bavarian city of Munich, the Union of Catholic Physicians in Germany recently angered gay and lesbian rights groups by announcing it had found a cure for homosexuality. And according to a study by University College London in 2009, 17% of UK therapists reported trying to change a patient's sexual orientation. But most mental health professionals and many gays who've tried reparative therapy say not only that it doesn't work, but that its failure to work for someone in an already fragile mental state can cause serious psychological damage, including severe depression and suicidal thoughts.
Meanwhile, a bill that LGBT activists call absolutely discriminatory has been introduced in Ukraine's parliament, according to the European region of the International Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Trans, and Intersex Association. The measure regarding protection of children's rights in the safe information sphere would amend the criminal code to make what it calls propaganda of homosexualism a criminal offense. It adds provisions to existing public morality laws and would affect print media, broadcasting, and publishing. The Ukrainian organization Insight said the bill strengthens censorship, restricts freedom of speech, which is the basis of mass media, and legalizes violence against homosexual people.
But Chile's politically conservative president, Sebastián Piñera, formally sent a bill to Congress this week that would create civil unions for the South American country's same-gender and heterosexual couples. He told Agence France-Presse that all forms of marriage deserve respect, dignity, and the support of the state. Piñera has consistently opposed marriage equality, but said that his beliefs don't prevent him from recognizing that other forms of effective relationships exist. The bill would give same-gender and unmarried heterosexual couples who've been together for at least a year the same inheritance and social welfare rights as married couples through a legal contract called the Life Partner Agreement. LGBT activists are calling the proposal a major step forward, noting that Chile didn't even recognize divorce until 2004. But the civil union proposal is sure to be opposed by the country's politically powerful Roman Catholic Church.
The U.S. Anti-Equality National Organization for Marriage was a two-time loser this week. It lost an effort to appeal a federal district court ruling that the group needs to comply with campaign disclosure laws in Rhode Island. The right-wing group filed a lawsuit in September calling the state's requirement to disclose the names of individuals who give more than $100 to candidates unconstitutional and overly broad. The rejection of the group's appeal follows similar district court losses in New York and Maine. And the first U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Boston also upheld Maine's reporting requirements for political action committees this week, rejecting another disclosure law challenge brought by the group.
Elsewhere, Slovenia's Ministry of Labor, Family, and Social Affairs has approved the country's first ever same-gender second-parent adoption, according to the Ljubljana-based Students' Cultural Center Lesbian Section. A new family code, enacted in June, allows a same-gender partner to adopt her or his partner's biological child. The ministry stepped in after the Center for Social Work denied the adoption.
And openly lesbian Australian Finance Minister Penny Wong announced this week that she's expecting a child with her longtime partner, Sophie Alawash. The baby, who's due in December, was conceived through in vitro fertilization. We have chosen to make this statement about Sophie's pregnancy as we understand there may be public interest due to my position, a Wong media release said, adding that I do not propose to make any further statements following today. Wong will no doubt come under even more pressure now, as a prospective lesbian parent, to stop defending her ruling Australian Labor Party's opposition to opening civil marriage to same-gender couples. But motions favoring marriage equality have passed at Labor Party conferences in seven of Australia's eight states and territories, so the issue is sure to shake up Labor's national conference in December.
And finally, the Australian gay couple featured in a controversial rip-and-roll campaign to promote condom use in the state of Queensland also has marriage in mind. Michael O'Brien and Anthony Gillespie, both in their mid-20s, have been approved to foster a 9-year-old Australian boy. Visitations and overnight stays have begun in advance of the boy's full-time placement with the couple. We decided to change the life of a child that needed rescuing, and we hope to formalize our family through marriage soon, O'Brien said. I wear an engagement ring from Anthony, and I have told our son we will be getting married soon. O'Brien said that he hopes the Labour Party won't make me a liar.
That's News Wrap for the week ending August 13th, 2011. Written by Greg Gordon, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and produced by Steve Pride. Read the text of this week's News Wrap online at thiswayout.org.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm John Torres.
And I'm Natalie Peebles.
You know, This Way Out is a feature segment every week here on Queer Voices. We're very, very lucky to have it. We basically get this show free, done by volunteers in Los Angeles, done just a little bit before the show goes on the air. Sometimes we're sort of sweating whether we're going to get it in time. But we're very lucky to have it. It gives us a national and international perspective of Queer Voices. We here locally try to cover the local issues about the organizations and the people that are involved in the community, the changes that are going on in the community. I mean, we had a very great announcement today about the non-discrimination policy of HISD, which is a milestone in this community because we have not had those types of wins before. But to continue doing that type of stuff, continue to do the social justice, continuing to do the information on what goes on in this community, we're really asking you to just give what you can. Please call us. Please become part of this station. Please be one of the less than 10% that actually donates to the station. This station is available free on the air. You don't need any special radios. You can listen to us on an ordinary $5 radio, and that is something that really goes beyond the closet doors. We get to reach people that nobody else does. Not everybody has access to the internet. Not everybody has access to the internet that isn't blocked. Some schools block it. Some institutions block it. But we're there. We've been here since 1993. KPFT has been doing this type of programming since 1975. Please call us at 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT.
This is Queer Voices.
This is Brian Levinka.
And Daniel Williams. And we are sitting with Julia Wallace and Jonathan Lopez of Continuum. How are y'all doing?
We're doing good.
Now, tell us a little bit about what is Continuum.
Continuum, we are a group of performance artists that formed about 5 months ago at the end of April. Julia had a series of performance workshops in which we gathered and experimented with performance art. And after those workshops, we're like, hey, let's keep this going. Mm-hmm. So that's when we decided to create Continuum as a collective.
Mm-hmm. And tell me about some of the members of Continuum, because I know there's a really strong LGBT presence in the troupe.
Yes. Kuma is one of our members, along with Sway Youngston, Christine Cook, Rain Dog, Bryce Galbraith, Emily Sloan, and Emily Sloan just did a great show about bisexuality, and Kuma's always doing amazing performance art about
sexuality.
Gender.
Yeah. So, yeah, Emily Sloan had a show, it was called What's Marriage For? What was the name of it? Oh, Tied to Be Fit. So it was a place called 14 Pews. It set up like a church, and what she had was like marriages pretty much for everyone. You know, she was just marrying men, women. It was, and the whole event was performance art based.
So Continuum is a performance group that does different types of performances, or do they do theater? Do they do improv? I mean, what exactly? Do they do everything?
What is performance art?
Yeah. What is it, and what do y'all do?
Performance art can be anything. I mean, I like to explain it as instead of the art being an object, it's an action. So it can be anything from brushing your teeth to, creating participatory, anything. It can be Just living, really. So
it's very different in theater because it's not rehearsed, and you're not playing somebody. As a performance artist, you can use your body as a canvas to express what you want to say, or you can also create a situation. You don't necessarily have to perform on stage. You, for example, you can create a series of installations where you have instructions for people to do something, and that's how you're creating action, and you're creating a response from people.
And Continuum has a show coming up that's part of the I Perform. And I was looking over the group's press release. Y'all have some very interesting pieces that will be a part of this. Now, I Perform opens with a public reception on Friday, August 26th at 7 p.m. But one of the pieces I'm seeing that y'all have prepared for this involves preparing a shoelogy for a shoe graveyard. Now, tell me about that.
That's Kuma's piece, actually. Mm-hmm. We wish he was here so he could explain more about it, but people, you know, we never think about what shoes have been through, you know, like he has a series that he has been collected, and people are supposed to imagine who these shoes belong to. So that's, you know, he's not necessarily performing on stage, but he has a series of props where people can use their imagination and think about, you know, who wore these shoes.
So audience input is important to performance art?
It can be. Performance art can really be anything. But for Continuum's performance art, we almost always have participatory elements where we involve the audience in really fun ways, usually.
Such as?
Like, people will be able to write their own shoelogy and be able to...
Well, we could talk about Absolution.
Please do.
That's a performance where we exchange people's sins for alcoholic beverages.
Exchange their sins how?
Well, they, in order to get a beverage, they have to videotape their sin, and then their sin gets posted on YouTube. And the reality is that we don't really believe in sin, but it's just like a survey on what people consider social deviance and a way to make fun of religion, you know?
So, why exchange sins for alcohol? What's the point?
Well, the point is to liberate people from what they think is a sin when it's really not. You know, some people think that masturbation is a sin, that homosexuality is a sin when that's completely wrong. So it's a way to just investigate those issues and let people free them from what they think. It's wrong when it's not.
Now, I see another one of the pieces y'all have prepared for the I Perform is making photocopies of random body parts for a wall collage. How is that going to work?
Well, that's actually Hilary Scalane's piece. And she's going to have a booth where you can enter and you can pretty much get naughty with a copy machine. And after that, she's going to use those copies to make a collage on the wall. So it's just a way to, you know, show people that through performance art you can be, you can express your sexuality. You know, it's about, there's nothing wrong with, you know, making photocopies of your genitals and pasting them on the wall.
Well, that might be a matter of some debate, I think.
Yeah, I think at my place of work they wouldn't appreciate it.
Now, Jonathan, you were sharing with me beforehand that you're an out performer. How does that affect your art?
Well, I started experimenting with performance art about a year ago, and before that, you know, I was I myself was stigmatized about my sexuality. I also make other commercial sculpture, and I wasn't sure that I should be out to my collectors as a gay person. And one of my first pieces was called The Latin Lover Conservation, where basically I have three gay men and I'm selling the romantic services to the audience, you know. So through that performance, I exposed all these things that I was hiding about myself. Hey, I'm gay. It's okay to be gay. It's okay to put yourself out there and let the world know that about your sexuality. And a year after now, I can't express how free I feel, you know. Like, I will always continue to make commercial sculpture and performance art, but I feel like nobody should be you know, condemned for their, or be fearful of, you know, I'm not going to sell art just because I'm gay, you know. So it has been a transformation.
Is there an economic disadvantage to being out as an artist?
Some people believe that, you know. I used to believe that. But, hey, let's just say I'm not going to sell my art to the people that don't like me for who I am.
So is that kind of the mission of Continuum, is to kind of expand people's minds and open their sexuality and kind of expand upon their preconceptions?
I think that's a big part of it. One of the big things that we try to do is give this gift of performance to other people. So part of the show is going to be a series of workshops where anyone can come and create their own performances. And we are a really encouraging group of people, and you can do just about anything in front of us, and we will clap.
So it's not necessarily an LGBT organization. You're just welcoming to
anybody.
Anybody, right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But we're encouraging, you know, to just be yourself, you know, like, and if what you want to express is has to do with gay issues, or just be yourself, and we'll provide feedback for your performance, and pretty much encourage you to experiment through art.
Well, those workshops sound really fascinating. Where do I need to go to participate in them?
Our show is going to be held by Space Taker, which is at Winter Street Studios. And the main reception is on August the 26th from 7 to 10 p.m. And after that, we have the workshops. The first one is on Monday the 29th from 7 to 10 p.m. And then there will be two more Mondays. And through these workshops, too, we're going to be collecting performances for a closing show. So by coming to the workshops, you're going to become an artist at the closing.
Now, if I go to the workshops, will I be forced to participate in the closing show? That's a little intimidating.
No. And you can simply just come to watch, you know, like you don't necessarily have to perform the first time you come to the workshop, but we guarantee you that you are going to want to.
And we've been talking about Continuum's participation in the I Perform Festival, is that correct?
No, it's an opening reception.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit more about I Perform?
I Perform is simply the name that we picked for our show. Mm-hmm. So it's I Perform presented by Continuum.
Okay.
And since we're inviting you to perform, that's why we called it
I Perform. Mm-hmm. I got it.
So it's not like an iPod or an iMac or any of those things.
You could see it in a way like that.
Steve Jobs isn't involved in any way.
There's no Apple marketing, I guess. So is there a website for people to find out more information?
Yes. It is Continuum Performance Art.
Spell that.
Continuum Performance Art.
Okay.
.blogspot.com. And Continuum Performance Art is also our Facebook name. So
go search on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Summer, our delightful Twitter maven, will be getting that information on our Twitter account. If you don't follow Queer Voices on Twitter, do it. It really enhances the experience of watching the show. We've been talking with Julia Wallace and Jonathan Lopez of Continuum about I Perform, which is a series of performances and workshops the troupe will be holding on performance art. Julia, Jonathan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for having us.
And this is Queer Voices.
It's awfully quiet out there in the lobby where the phones ring from the people who generously contribute to this show and to the station. So we're asking you to please call us. Please call us and let us know you're out there, that you're showing support for this radio station and for this show in particular. KPFT is a very important resource in this community in Houston. So call us now at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT.
In a chaotic world cluttered with sights, sounds, and messages, we're grateful you chose to land on KPFT for this part of your day.
No matter what happens with the economy, the climate, healthcare, or the war, you'll hear about it on KPFT.
That's why you listen, and it's why we're asking for your financial support today.
KPFT's membership is an investment that gives something back to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
KPFT depends on listeners like yourself
for well over 90% of our operating budget.
Consider how much KPFT adds to your life while you are listening at home, work, and in your car.
Financial support from our members ensures that we continue to bring you the programs and services you've come to enjoy.
So please, make your contribution now.
Here's the number to call.
713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT.
Was Jonesy, and the name of the track Animal Arithmetic from her album Go, released last year.
Listener contributions play an extremely important role in the quality of the music and news you hear on this station. If you've never made a contribution to KPFT, we need to hear from you. With the threat of reduced federal funding for public radio, first-time contributors are more important now than ever. Call 713-526-5738 now to make your tax-deductible contribution or pledge online at kpft.org. We need your pledge. You make a huge difference in this radio station when you pledge to KPFT. Again, that number is 713-526-KPFT. Call and make your tax-deductible contribution today. You can also pledge online at kpft.org. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio. KPFT, Houston.
We are asking you to do your part, to become part of this radio station, to become part of our family. to help us continue on doing Queer Voices, as we've been doing since 1993. Queer Voices is an integral part of the programming here on KPFT. We do try to cover so many different subjects of things that go on in our community, different events, different organizations, but most importantly, we talk to the people who are part of this community, the people that keep this community going, the people in their stories of why they got involved, how they got involved, and sometimes it's very frustrating. Sometimes it seems like we're not moving forward. Sometimes it looks like we're moving backward. But people continue on, and it's that that keeps us going here at Queer Voices, that we get to bring you those stories. And hopefully that will inspire you to get involved. And maybe you can't get involved, but at least you can do is contribute to this radio station to keep us moving forward. And certainly for the next generation. And one of the things that we've been trying to highlight recently, and we hope to do more, is to talk about the history. And no, we don't want to completely be in the history, but it is important to know where we came from and how we got there. And so that we won't lose track as we move forward in this movement, the movement of making not only GLBT people free, but all people free. Call us now at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston. Now, more of Queer Voices with Jack Valensky and the entire Queer Voices crew.
Hey, sing if you're glad to be gay. Sing if you're happy. This way.
Well, several years ago, one of our wonderful volunteers, Joan Devlin, used to be here with us, and then her job took her away from us. But she joins us again now from the politically heated cornfields of Iowa. Joan, you have a book author.
Yes, that's right. I have, actually, he's not an author. I have John G. Jones, who is the manufacturer of Velvet Rope Soaps. And Velvet Rope Soaps are a very interesting new type of soap. John, are you with us?
I'm here. How are you?
Oh, great, great. Now, I understand that as a sideline along with soap making, you sing opera, so we'll get into more of that later. But first, okay. Tell our audience about your soaps.
Well, basically, I've started last year making handmade soaps. So they're all handmade goat's milk soaps. I may eventually do some without goat's milk. I've had a few vegan requests, but so far they're all very, very moisturizing goat's milk, all handmade, hand-wrapped, and I'm in Dallas, Texas. So basically, I started out, the idea that I had was to have them all be bar-themed. So, you know, kind of like, you know, your bar soap, except I've got a disco bar and a gay bar and a bear bar and a coffee bar. Basically, I had a few friends that we brainstormed all of the different kind of bars we could think of, and I just created a soap that made me think of each of those bars.
That's great. Now, talk a little bit about, I heard that you did a bar for Lady Gaga. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, it was definitely a good effort. I had my piano bar, which is kind of makes me think of piano music or piano bar, and I was actually going to her concert here in Dallas and had standing room on the floor. So I made a bar of soap that actually I can put different words and phrases in the soap when I want to, or for certain events or occasions. So I made a bar that said Gaga, and my partner and I were down, and I was hoping to get close enough. I was trying to get closer to her, but I was about 15 feet away still, and these girls that we were talking to that we had met and were hanging out with there kept encouraging me to throw it up on the stage, and it's kind of a hard bar of soap. So I contemplated for a good little while, and then I decided against that because I didn't want to be the guy that knocked Lady Gaga on the head with a bar of soap. I figured that might make me kind of unpopular there. So.
Yeah, that's probably not the publicity you want for your soap, huh?
Exactly. Don't want to be carted off to prison for knocking Lady Gaga on the head, for sure. But it was a good effort anyway.
Okay, well, tell us a little bit about the soaps. Tell us about the gay bar. For instance, what's the difference between the gay bar and the lesbian bar?
Well, they've all got different fragrances, of course. The lesbian bar, is the colors, blue and green kind of blended together, swirled. And it's kind of a, I actually did a lot of lesbian surveying. I asked a lot of different friends and coworkers, and I'm like, well, you know, what makes you think lesbian in a fragrance? And, got a lot of very interesting answers, as you might, imagine. But what I ended up with was kind of a sporty, kind of a sporty cologne scent. So that's the lesbian bar. The gay bar is kind of a fresh linen. And on top of that actually has a rainbow color of sea salt across the top. It almost looks like a rainbow snow cone.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Right. And most, I have pictures of most of the bars on my website, which is www.velvetropesoaps.com. There are a few that I don't have photos up of, but most of them I do, and the others I'll have added shortly. So they each kind of have their own personality. The bear bar says bear across it and has actually the bear flag colors mixed in. Then I've got a sports bar. I've got a leather bar, which is kind of a marbled black and gray that smells like fresh leather. And then kind of to balance that out, I've got a ladies church social and a ladies hat social.
Okay, what are those
I'm not
about?
Go ahead.
What are the ladies church social and hat social about? What do they smell like and look like?
The ladies church social is kind of a fragrance that made me think more of like more mature woman, kind of a hyacinth fragrance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of got a purple, kind of a natural soap color with a little bit of purple marbled in. And, then the ladies hat social is kind of a plumeria, a little bit of a sweet, slightly flowery fragrance. And it's of course got red marbled into the soap. And my mom is really involved in the Red Hat Society. She's very involved in that. And so I was thinking about all the ladies and their big red hats and purple boas and kind of created that for that. So I've pretty much I've made an effort to have something for everybody. I've got your kind of your club and bar theme soaps, and then I've kind of got the more – I've got some scrubs that are kind of more of a fun Christian theme, I guess you would say.
Okay.
I've got a revival bar, a backslider bar. Are you familiar with the term backslider?
Yes, absolutely.
So yeah, I've got a sea salt scrub that's my backslider bar for when you've committed lots of bad sins, you need to scrub away. So
this is great. Now, how do people get your soaps?
Well, you can get them on my website, which is, like I said, velvetropesoaps.com. I'm working toward getting them at some different retailers. So far, I'm in Skivvies in Dallas, which is a men's clothing and underwear and swimwear store in Oakland.
Okay.
So they have them in the store there. And I'm working on getting them into some more retail establishments and hopefully some bed and breakfast and spa-type settings also.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you the million-dollar question, and for those who are just joining us, we are talking to John G. Jones, who's the proprietor of Velvet Rope Soaps. I have extremely sensitive skin. Would I be able to use your soaps without any difficulty?
Definitely. I've several of my friends and coworkers have really, really sensitive skin, and they've said that they've just, I mean, so far they've really loved it. It is very... I do have some that if someone particularly can't have any fragrance or dyes, the Backslider Bar, Revival Bar, and the Foot Fetish Bar do not have any dyes or fragrance added. So there are options for people who are sensitive to that in particular. But otherwise, it's just very moisturizing with the goat's milk, and it's got basically primarily made with coconut oil, canola oil, rice bran oil, which is kind of a Asian beauty secret. It's also got olive oil and grapeseed oil. So yeah, everyone that I've talked to who's used it and has told me that it's with their sensitive skin, it's worked very, very well. So I definitely would be happy to send a little bit your way. I was actually thinking I could send you guys a few bars that had a KPFT in the bar with the, you said I can stamp different letters and phrases and so forth.
Oh, that would be great. That would help us with our fundraising, which we're doing tonight. 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. So, again, have you always kind of been a mixologist? Where did the idea to, you know, did you just wake up one morning and say, I'd like to make soap, or was this always kind of a hobby you had that you decided to start a business with? How did this all come about?
I wanted to have a business of my own or start a business. I set this up as a corporation. Just basically, there's a really great program here in Dallas where they help you creating small businesses and tell you what you need to do and so forth. And I knew that I was wanting to do something, but I never quite knew what I wanted to do as far as a business went. And I'd seen several places, you know, people who were making handmade soap at, you know, craft fairs and on television and so forth. And I just found it very interesting and started doing some research online and bought a couple of books and actually used that information and created my own recipe and with a lot of experimenting and a lot of several batches of soap given to friends and family till I got it just the way I wanted it. And I expected that it would be good soap, but I've enjoyed it a lot more than I thought that I would, and I've had so much more good feedback than I could have imagined. Everyone has just really loved it that's tried it, so it's gone really well. But I consider myself just a creative person in general. I really have to be doing something where I feel like I'm creating something. So it just kind of so happened that I fell into finding interest in the soap, and it just kind of took off from there.
Great. Well, once again, we are talking to John G. Jones, who is the proprietor of Velvet Rope Soaps. And can you give us your website one more time, please?
Sure. It's www.velvetropesoaps.com. And I've also got a new soap that's coming out, which has 23-karat gold flakes mixed in, which is going to be my very high-end spa soap that I'm hoping to get into a couple of high-end department stores.
Wow, real gold. So tell us how you came up with that one.
I was trying to think of something that would be very, very high-end, because, like I said, I've tried to have something for everybody, so I had all of my bases covered, and I thought I basically want something that would say celebrity, rock star, you know, that sort of thing, and something that would just be kind of out there. And, you know, you've got your gold slogger, which has the gold in it that's, you know, the edible quality gold, and that's basically what this is, are edible quality gold flakes that are actually mixed in the soap. So when you're using it, you actually have those flakes of gold in there.
Oh, wow. Well, that's
so just
great.
Something to be kind of opulent.
So are you just, you know, as this goes on, are you expect that you'll continually be updating, changing things around, or are you just going to kind of stick with your standbys? How do you see yourself growing?
I'm kind of creating my, I guess the way you'd say it, my main line right now. And then I figure once I get those established, which it's kind of hard to stop because I have so many people saying, oh, I love this, I love that, why don't you make this? So it's, I have trouble saying no. So I keep creating new soaps, and which I'm enjoying, but I'll probably get a main line, and then I may have a few things that I circulate either seasonally, or I may try to come out with one or two new soaps a year once I get everything kind of in a settled spot. Like I'm wanting to look into doing cocktail scented soaps once I've got all of my bars and the other ones. Like I've actually already started working on a tequila sunrise.
Oh, that sounds good.
So, yeah, a lot of fun, and pretty much, I mean, my goth bar has dragon's blood scents. I mean, there's really, you would have to try really hard not to find something that suited your personality with looking through everything in the store.
Wow, that's great. Is there any chance you're going to make a sampler basket for people like me that are indecisive?
I have two sizes. I've got the large bar, and then I've got what I call a hotel size bar, about the size that you get if you went to a hotel and they give you those little bars of soap. So on my website, you can pick either one. So if someone wanted to try out, you know, several, you know, they could basically choose to just get several of the little hotel bars and kind of try that out. And I eventually will be adding on my website, I'm planning on doing kind of a little sampler pack once I get all of my
fragrance is all established, I will plan on doing something like that where you kind of get one of everything at some point as well. And then I do have I have bath soaks, which is basically the bath salt mixed with extra fragrance and actually has the shredded soap mixed in that you can actually put in the bath as well.
Oh, wow, that's great. Well, thank you so much for being with us tonight. We've been talking to John D. Jones, proprietor of Velvet Rope Soaps. Check it out. He is one of our own living in Dallas, Texas. Thank you so much for being with us tonight, John.
Oh, sure. Thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed it.
Thank you. You're listening to KPFT Houston.
Magazines, newspapers, cable television, the internet, all sources of news and information, and all cost money. KPFT costs money too, but unlike those other news sources, you get to decide whether you want to help pay for it and how much to contribute. It's unusual in the age of big corporate media to have a quality source of news and information that's paid for voluntarily, but that's one more way KPFT gives you more than you might expect. We can do it thanks to listeners who contribute their voluntary support every year. Please join them. Call 713-526-5738 or go to kpft.org. Again, you can make your gift at kpft.org or call 713-526-5738. That's 713-526-KPFT. Call now. This is commercial free, listener sponsored Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston.
You know, there's a TV station that keeps calling itself local. But if you ever watch a newscast on that station or any of the other TV stations when they're doing news, and they're now doing news so much starting at 4:30 in the morning, and now they have 4 p.m. newscast and all that, actually, you know, put a timer on that. See how much of it is really news and how much of that news is really local. KPFT is about local. We cover lots of other things, but we really do try to talk about what's going on in our community, what's important to our listeners, what are the real issues. You know, we don't have advertisers to tell us what to do and what not to do and what not to say and what to be afraid to say. The program director does not tell us what to say. We have the most incredible amount of leeway to do what we want on this show, and we're always interested in what you think we should be doing because that's what we're here for. We're here to serve the community. We're not here to serve the advertisers. We're here to serve the listener sponsors and the listeners of this station. KPFT is an institution here. KPFT has been on the air since 1970. Certainly KPFT has had its struggles. KPFT is part of Pacifica. Pacifica is the most recognized community organized media group in the country. And it basically gets its orders from the listeners who are part of 5 listener areas. And, you know, 5 stations isn't a lot when you compare it to Clear Channel that has 1,000 stations or 1,200 stations. But the fact that we are in some of the bigger listening areas in the country, we do actually say, we have the ability to say a lot to people who have no other access to media that is for them. It's important to keep the station on the air. And if you listen to the station, you'll hear many different viewpoints because we don't always agree. But I think we all do agree that the station's important, that the voices that come out of the station is very important, and that you are part of this station. So we're asking you to do your part. I know times are tough. People have been getting laid off. We got a governor now that wants to run and talk about all the jobs he created. Well, you know, certainly there's an awful lot of jobs that were lost, as some teachers, and we know it's tough. Unions are on their way out the way this, you know, they're trying to do that. There's a strike with Verizon's right now on the East Coast, union jobs. Delta was trying to stop unionization of people that work for in the FAA. All of these issues are going on. We want to continue this voice that we have, this very independent voice. It's probably the most important thing that we have in this community is the voices that come out here at KPFT. Please become a member. Please become part of this station. You can do it online at kpft.org. You don't have to live in Houston to become a member. We have people who call all over the country. But we're in your backyard. And if you're listening to us in the greater Houston area, we are part of your community. We're asking for your support. Call us at 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT.
In a chaotic world cluttered with sights, sounds, and messages, we're grateful you chose to land on KPFT for this part of your day.
No matter what happens with the economy, the climate, healthcare, or the war, you'll hear about it on KPFT.
That's why you listen, and it's why we're asking for your financial support today.
KPFT's membership is an investment that gives something back to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
KPFT depends on listeners like yourself for well over 90% of our operating budget.
Consider how much KPFT adds to your life while you are listening at home, work, and in your car.
Financial support from our members ensures that we continue to bring you the programs and services you've come to enjoy.
So please, make your contribution now.
Here's the number to call.
713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT.
I was trying how to be what you needed. Doing everything to try and help you see it. All this time when I thought that you were mine. You were seeing someone else on the side. And it's hurting me completely, cause I know why. I just pushed it aside and never thought I would be the one to say it was me. I would be the one crying on my knees. I was a fool thinking I was meant for you. I was a fool thinking you felt the same way too. Trying to deceive me, but to me I just couldn't see all the damage you were doing to me. And you're telling me you're sorry and you need me, but still the lies keep coming and haunting me. I'm sorry, babe, but I'm tired, you see. I just don't wanna be a fool for you, baby. I was a fool thinking I was meant for you. I was a fool thinking you felt the same way.
released this year from the album Eight Songs About a Girl. That was A Deep Dark Robot, Won't You Be My Girl? And then before that, Mallory with a song called Blind that was recorded in 2010. And Mallory, by the way, is a Houston Pride 2011 performer from San Antonio. And our thanks to J.D. Doyle for providing the music that we play on this show.
And easy for you to say, Glenn.
Just one of the many volunteers who participate in making this show possible. And as I always like to say, we also have people volunteering who listen to the show.
Yes. Well, we do have an incredible staff here of people who come together to put this show together every week. We're here even on holidays, and isn't it strange how many holidays fall on Monday? In fact, even the 4th of July fell on Monday this year, but that's okay. We try to do a new show every week. We have contributors. Joan contributes from Iowa. J.D. from up in the woodlands, he puts together the music. J.D. probably has the largest collection of queer music in the world. He does a monthly feature here on this program called Queer Music Heritage. And he does an hour portion for this show, but then he does usually about 3 hours worth that you can catch on his website. And it's really interesting because he knows the music. He tries to fit it in between our segments, what would work best for us. He also tries to spotlight some new artists so that we have, you know, the show is really about the GLBT community, but it's not limited to the GLBT community. We really want to sort of talk about our issues, but hopefully make them available to other people who may not be part of the community, that this is sort of an education and sort of a better understanding. And, you know, when non-commercial radio was set up, it was really called educational radio. And a lot of universities owned radio stations, including a couple universities here in Houston. And what Pacifica does was sort of different, that it was a non-profit organization that wasn't affiliated with the school or university that did this. It's also interesting right now that there's a trend across the country that the college radio stations, in other words, those stations that play a lot of free-form music or music you won't hear anywhere else, are disappearing. We saw that happen here at Rice Radio here in Houston. In San Francisco, a station's disappearing. In Nashville, a station is disappearing. Because these universities who are looking for some short for money instantly figure that they can sell the station to a non-profit entity that may do something else, whether it's religious or whether it's classical, and all those are valuable pieces of airwaves that it's good to be doing stuff that is not heard by 50 other stations in the listening area. KPFT is very, very unique, the fact that we are a community radio station. In fact, the first station on the air that was a community radio station was our station in Berkeley, San Francisco, and it was sort of writing the history on that, and it was an experiment, and we're still not sure this experiment will continue on, because it really depends on the listeners being part of this station. We have a small staff here, and the rest of the people are volunteers. And if you look at our programming grid that you can get at kpft.org, you can just see an incredible amount of different types of shows. In fact, most of the people who write about the radio industry says this type of station just doesn't work, that you more or less have to be somewhat homogenized and do one thing. We do many things, and maybe we don't do them all really well, but we certainly, a lot of us, try to do them as well as we can. And it's that type of variety, that type of community involvement that brings to the airwaves here on KPFT a real sense of community. And we really mean it when we say community radio. One is that it's locally produced. We cover local issues and many other issues that it's not heard anywhere else. We are asking you to call us and become part of this family here at KPFT to help express the many different voices that are heard. Probably more different types of voices are heard on this station than all the other radio stations combined in Houston. And that's really some statement, that we have this incredible diversity of what's going over the airwaves, all on this one station, 90.1. We're heard here in Houston. We're heard on the internet. We've got a little translator in Huntsville and in Galveston. So we try to get out. We try to give somewhat of informed opinions, give opinions that, you know, some shows allow people to call in and give their opinions. We try to cover a lot of the local issues that you won't hear anywhere else. Become part of KPFT. Call us at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. And, you know, it's not just my voice. It is all of our voices here. All of the voices that combine to bring the show together every week.
And I can tell that your voice is starting to crack there, Jack. And you know what? I hear no phones ringing in the lobby. And we need you to call in. I mean, this is, you're voting for gay radio. 713-526-5738 or 526-KPFT.
You know, there's a lot that you get here at KPFT that you won't get anywhere else. And we've talked about that. But the one thing you don't get is our show. You know, where else in this city can you turn on a radio station and get a two-hour all GLBT programming? You won't find that. Only on KPFT. And the reason is that KPFT is diverse in all of its voices. And this is the one place you can have that diversity, where you can listen for 2 hours to us and listen to something entirely different immediately before or after. It's important for you to take the time, pick up the phone, 713-526-5738, and join or just donate if you can. Contribute to this program. Support KPFT. Support Queer Voices.
Times are tough. We all know that. And I sincerely believe that every single person at home wants to contribute to to this radio station. I want you to ask yourself a question. What do you spend money on that is less important to you than being able to listen to Queer Voices every week? And I want you to think about how you could take that purchase and instead use it to support free radio in Houston. The number again is 713-526-5738. I know you want to call. We're not hearing those phones ring. Please pick up the phone. Any amount helps.
Extra, read all about it, extra.
A new This Way Out update has been posted on our website. For recent programming information and behind-the-scenes news about your favorite international LGBT radio show, log on to www.thiswayout.org.
A True Life book and a lifelike movie explore newsworthy topics later in the program. A foreign national who marries an American citizen is automatically entitled to permanent residency in the U.S. if the couple is male and female. And while the Obama administration may consider the Defense of Marriage Act that bans federal recognition of same-gender unions to be unconstitutional, its own immigration agency is still using the law to hammer binational lesbian and gay couples. Australian citizen Anthony John Mack has been ordered to leave the U.S. and his husband of many years, Bradford Wells, by August 25th. Citizenship and Immigration Services refused to acknowledge that Mack is the sole caregiver for Wells, who has AIDS. In response to the couple's application for Mack's permanent residency, CIS said only that DOMA prevented the federal government from qualifying their 2004 Massachusetts civil marriage for benefits. Wells and Mack hope an appeal of the decision will buy them more time, but at this point there could be a nasty ending to the compelling tale they told Current TV's David Schuster this week.
We met 19 years ago while Brad was on vacation in Australia, and it was right from the start. It was we knew it was going to be a serious relationship, and ever since then we've strived to stay together, and with Brad's medical issues, we realised that we had to really live in the United States because this is where all his support is. And I started a business some time ago which gave me the opportunity to reside here for several years. And when the business was slowed down during due to the economy, then my visa expired, and so now we find ourselves here. I'm currently here on a tourist visa that will not be renewed.
And Brad, you have AIDS. You clearly need your partner, as any married couple would need their partner, help sort of take care of them. What's been going through your mind as you've learned that, wait a second, maybe the Department of Homeland Security is going to force you guys to split up or leave?
I actually have so many medical conditions at this point, I don't remember them all. I depend on Anthony to get through my day. He helps me get out of bed some mornings when I'm just too stiff or in too much pain to move. He helps me with things I have to do during the day to take care of myself. I'd be lost without him.
You were married in Massachusetts. Was it? Did you ever anticipate that our government would be using the Defense of Marriage Act, especially after the Obama administration had said that they would not defend it, that they would be using DOMA to deny Anthony your application for permanent residency?
When we were married, back then, I didn't even know about DOMA, the actual Defense of Marriage Act. I knew we could not have same-sex immigration, but we also thought that by now things would have changed, and things haven't changed. I don't believe that in the end they will split us up. We will still remain together in some form.
My president believes that this law is unconstitutional. A lot of people believe it's unconstitutional. Every time it goes before the courts, it's declared unconstitutional.
They even say that they're going to offer discretion, but they're offering no discretion to any gay and lesbian couple, not just us.
No one's
There's several it. Couples that they don't get any discretion.
And August the 25th is essentially the deadline of when your current temporary visa runs out?
Exactly. I'm here basically when I got the notice was 30 days to leave the country. And that's the 30 days are up on the 25th of August.
How is your relationship doing in the midst of all these incredible tensions and pressures and stresses, given that all couples, married or straight, have stress in their relationships sometimes?
We have our moments.
Yeah.
But I would say, generally speaking, we're doing quite well. There's lots of support out there for us, and you can feel it.
Yeah.
Lots of people think that this is wrong, and it shouldn't be happening to any gay or lesbian couple. We're just happy that we can speak out. We're in a position that we can speak out.
This shouldn't happen to anybody.
Current TV's David Schuster really got the irony in the saga of Bradford Wells and Anthony John Mack. It has much in common with the stories collected in a recently published book that caught the eye of This Way Out commentator Janet Mason.
One of the major ways to affect change is to share our stories, and that is exactly what Judy Ricard does in Torn Apart, United by Love, Divided by Law. In this book, published in 2011 by Finhorn Press, Judy shares her own story, plus the stories of many other same-sex binational couples. She also provides resources for further action on immigration reform bills inclusive of LGBT families. 19 nations allow their citizens to sponsor their same-sex partners for immigration, but the United States does not. Same-sex couples are denied the right to a federally recognized marriage in the United States. Therefore, the U.S. citizen cannot sponsor the non-American partner for immigration purposes. It does not matter if the couple has been legally married in a U.S. state or in another country. Eve Ricard starts by telling her own story. When she was 57, she met and fell in love with her partner Karen, who is British. Karen was forced by U.S. immigration laws to leave the United States. Judy took early retirement so the two of them could be together. The United Kingdom does recognize their status, but the climate contributes to Judy's health problems. Judy explains the situation. We don't sit and plan travel around the world for months at a time because we have so much money and time we can't think of what else to do. We do it now because we have to, and we both pay the price. We are a lesbian family, a binational couple, and like thousands of other couples in our situation, we can't live legally as a couple in America. Judy writes that people sometimes ask her why she got involved with Karen if she had a visa issue. Some people were probably insensitive, but most people just seem flustered and insatiably curious. They couldn't figure out why we have to leave the country to stay together, for example. I don't want to be rude to them, but I don't go around asking other people why they got involved with their partners. Many gay and lesbian binational couples have to live in separate countries most of the time, visiting only when time, money, and career obligations allow. All of the couples interviewed and torn apart have chosen to live by the law, while many, including some gay and lesbian couples, may have decided to stay in the United States through a false marriage to someone of the opposite sex. Judy emphasizes that this practice is illegal and carries extremely heavy penalties. These stories of courage give us hope that eventually people will put enough pressure on the lawmakers so that the laws will change and love will prevail. This is Janet Mason with commentary on queer life and literature for This Way Out.
Wrapping it up this week, our award-winning entertainment reporter Steve Pride sits down with the man behind the movie that was the talk of the Outfest, Frameline, and Sundance film festivals this year.
Hi, I'm Rashad Ernesto Green, writer-director of Gun Hill Road. The film's about a Latino family in the Bronx whose father returns home prison after 3 years to discover that his wife is estranged and his teenage child is transgender.
Michael is one of my favorite students.
Rodriguez.
I'm sorry?
No, Michael Rodriguez is awesome.
No, yeah, I meant Michael Rodriguez. He's got a knack for poetry. He writes beautifully. You know, it must be difficult for you, though.
How so?
Well, I mean, the issues that Michael's having, you know, his refusal to use the boys' bathroom, the eyeliner in class, etc. You know, all the things that you and I spoke of a month ago, Ms. Rodriguez?
It was inspired by someone very close to me who went through something very similar as Isai Morales' character in the film. He represents the father who comes home to discover that his child is in transition. I watched this person who's close to me, I watched his family deteriorate over the course of a few years because of his inability to understand his child's transition, but at the same time loves his child so much. And I wanted to make a piece of art that didn't necessarily give this family all of the answers, but at least pointed them towards the way that if you put love and understanding first, everything else can be worked out later.
This is the first feature film from Rashad Ernesto Green. In fact,
it's actually my thesis film at NYU Graduate Film School, at the Tisch School of the Arts there. I just graduated in May. I was an actor first. I went to NYU grad acting. I came out in 2003, spent about 3 years in the industry, and realized that I had no control over my destiny or the stories that I wanted to see on the screen. I wanted a little bit more creative control, so I decided to step behind the camera. I went back to school, went back to NYU, and started making short films with the curriculum there. And a couple of them were really successful. There was one that was in called Premature, it was on HBO, and another one called Cuts that was on HBO, and one called Choices that premiered at Sundance in 2009. At that time, I decided to start writing what would be my thesis film, Gun Hill Road, the first feature. And it took about a year. It took about a year to finish the script and finesse that script. And during that year, I had a producer that approached me who was interested in what I was doing next. And I gave him the script, and that was pretty much it. He fell in love, and we decided to make it happen. It's a story that needs to be told. And I'm just trying to put it out there, and the timing is right. The response, it's clear, because it's not just that we made the film. The film premieres at Sundance and it gets picked up. And the response that we're getting both from the festival circuit and the bookings now is a clear indication that we're changing as a society in the right direction, that we need more stories that show the complexity and the depth of our families and the struggles that we go through.
What'd you learn in class today?
I don't know. The usual.
Yeah. You want to learn how to cut class with your faggoty little friends?
Enrique.
It ain't like I never cut class before, but don't lie to me.
Kike.
You can't just follow me around, Bobby.
Sit down.
I don't go following you around.
What's up with your hands, man? Enrique. Put your hands down and talk to me like a man. I didn't raise you to be like that.
You didn't raise me.
specifically from the trans community, they've been extremely, extremely supportive and grateful that someone had the guts, honestly, to make a film that isn't necessarily marketable when you think about it. I think it will be. But when you describe that to a studio, for example, it's not the kind of film that they jump on. But now that it's made and people are responding to the humanity of the characters, that is what's making people understand the plight and go to the movie theaters and tell their friends. And it's become a movement now because of how many people, both transgender community and outside of the trans community, who can relate to the film. If you're a parent and you've ever had a difference with your child, if your child has ever done something that you did not want them to do, or as a child, if you've ever been a teenager who's gone against your parents' best wishes for you, you can relate to this film.
Why do you have to come back? I wish you could have just stayed up there. You could have married Hector.
You're just saying that, okay?
Besides an amazing script and sensitive direction, it's the performance of newcomer and trans actress Harmony Santana that pushes this film to the next level.
It was very important for me to cast a trans person as the trans character. We rarely see it in films, and I don't know if we've ever seen it in an actual lead role. But for me to cast a female, for example, would have not been authentic, even if they were a great actress, for example, because it's something that at one point we may have been open to, you know, as far as finding maybe an attractive gay male who might have dressed up in drag before, might have experience with that to portray this character. But it's a completely different experience. I mean, it is a world apart between someone who dresses up and someone who believes themselves to be a woman. It is completely different. And I think the success of this film is as a result of having someone who has lived that experience, so we can see and feel and experience the very nitty-gritty details of her struggle and her daily experience.
And what else does Rashad hope audiences take away from his film?
It is often difficult for parents to let go of what they wanted for their child when their child feels differently from them. But I try to illustrate in this film that it's nothing for any parents to feel bad about or embarrassed about when your child is telling you, this is who I am, this is how I feel, and I felt like this for a very long time. You need to embrace that child when they have the bravery to step forth and admit something like that to you, knowing that you're not going to like it. This is not something that they're choosing for themselves. This is who they are. This is how they feel. And we need to support that.
This has been a conversation with writer-director Rashid Ernesto Green. To find out when Gun Hill Road opens at a theater near you, visit their website at gunhillroad.com. This is Steve Pride.
Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. This week, Natalie Peoples, John Torres, Sherry Lund, Janet Mason, and Steve Pride contributed program material. Thanks also to J.D. Doyle. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out is made possible by a grant from the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation and by the generosity of our listeners. Thank you. Log on to thiswayout.org to support our work, subscribe to CDs of our programs, or to check out what we look like. You can also listen to our podcasts, visit our blog, and like our Facebook fan page. Follow TWO Radio on Twitter, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For associate producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on WJSC Johnson, Vermont, CFUV Victoria, British Columbia, RTE Digital Radio Choice, Dublin, Ireland, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.
This Way Out is heard every week as part of Queer Voices. You are listening to 90.1 FM KPFT.
We are down to our last few minutes, so we're really asking you, and this is the only week we're going to be doing it in this cycle, so we'll be back to regular programming next Monday. Please do call us and contribute to KPFT, contribute to Queer Voices, contribute to a radio show that brings you what's going on in the community, what the background of what's going on, and where we are. Sometimes we have wins, sometimes we have losses. We had a really good win this last week with the HISD vote for non-discrimination, the first time that we've had that happen by legislative body in this part of the state. It's a move forward, and we talked about it, how it was done, how much work it entailed. You know, it doesn't come easy. And we know it doesn't come easy for you to be a supporter of KPFT, but we're asking you to do that. Call us at 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT.
We only have a few moments left before the end of the show, another 6 or 7 minutes, and that isn't much time, but you can call in now at 713-526-5738, or you can also contribute online. Go to kpft.org and contribute, but remember to tell them that it's coming, you're contributing for Queer Voices, so that they'll know that you are a supporter of Queer Voices. We spend a lot of time. We volunteer. There's nothing going on. We come here. We do it out of a labor of love, and we do it for you. We take the time to put this show together so that we can contribute to your life and make your life a little better and inform you of what's going on. So take a moment and contribute. Call 713-526-5738.
And we realized that there is a football game going on, so we know that some of our listeners may be watching that foosball on TV. So if you catch the broadcast later by iTunes or a podcast, you can donate online. And make sure that you designated that it's for Queer Voices, because they do keep track of that. And we do need your money supporting this show to show the studio and the station that we are needed. 713-526-KPFT or kpft.org.
You know, before I was one of the hosts of Queer Voices, I was a listener of Queer Voices. And like many of you, I usually would listen to the podcast because 11 o'clock can be a little late on a work night. But, Jack, I have a confession to make. In all that time listening to Queer Voices, I never called the station and made a pledge.
Boo.
Boo. Boo. And I know a lot of you are like me. You listen to the show. You enjoy the show. But you never quite get to that final step of picking up the phone or going online and making that donation. Please don't wait till the next cycle. Do it now. The number again is 713-526-5738.
This is your radio station. This is your part of democracy. Democracy and bringing what is going on in the community. KPFT has a local news staff. It's very small, but it does. It tries to cover local news. It lets people come in and do different shows. You know, there are open forums here on KPFT. We're out in the community. You can become a volunteer here at Queer Voices or any other show at KPFT. There's always room for you, but it does take some cash to keep the station going. We get very little money from the government, almost nothing. We get no money from corporations because it's against a charter at Pacifica. We get almost all of our money from the listeners here. And we know it's tough. We know times are incredibly tough right now. But if you can just spare a little bit of money, you know, maybe give up Starbucks for a couple days, give up some other stuff. You know, It's really important. You'll feel so much better that you are part of KPFT and Pacifica Radio here in Houston. There is no other station like it in Houston. There's no other station like it in this entire region. We are one of the five Pacifica radio stations that are run by Pacifica. And actually, it's more run locally than it is by the national group, because we have a local advisory board, and then we have a local general manager. We have a local program director, and we have lots and lots of volunteers that come and put on shows. We expose people to music they never hear before. We expose people to different types of things that are going on in the community from different communities, so that we are a real sort of, you know, of so many different people. Call us now at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT.
We want to thank the first part of the show, and that was Chris Busby was here, and we were talking about the HISD vote last Thursday.
And the performers from Continuum talked to us about I Perform, an upcoming celebration of performance theater.
And, of course, we had Joan Devlin and the proprietor of Velvet Rope Soaps.
And we want to welcome, you know, ask you back next Monday. And this is Queer Voices.
You have been listening to Queer Voices, heard each Monday at 9 p.m. here on KPFT, a publicly funded Pacifica Network station. Queer Voices is produced live in Houston with recorded segments from This Way Out, which is produced at KPFK in Los Angeles, and J.D. Doyle's Queer Music Heritage, which is produced in Houston. Queer Voices executive producer is Jack Valensky. On-air voices are Brian Levinka, Jennifer Renee, J.D. Doyle, Glenn Holt, Summer Iman, and Jack Valensky. For more information about tonight's program, including links to websites and organizations mentioned during the show, visit queervoices.org. And you can send email to jack@queervoices.org. Be sure to listen to KPFT every Sunday morning starting at 1 a.m. for After Hours with Jimmy Carper. It's Queer Radio with Attitude. At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston, a Pacifica Foundation station. For Queer Voices, I'm Glenn Holt.
Hello, friends. This is Dwayne Bradley, KPFT General Manager, asking you to call in a pledge of support to this program. The phone number is 713-526-5738, 526-KPFT. It is your direct financial contributions that allow all the freedom of expression you experience on KPFT to exist. Your contributions truly make all the difference. Be that difference. Please call now. 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT. Think about making a monthly gift to KPFT. KPFT exists because of people just like you. Please call your community now. 713-526-5738. 526-KPFT. Thank you for your support of independent, community-based Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston. Your gift can go further when you become a sustaining member of KPFT. When you call 713-526-KPFT and join as a sustaining member, you can designate a monthly contribution to be transferred from your bank or credit card account. And then it's electronically deposited into KPFT's account, and you receive a record of your contributions on your statement. Your membership is automatically renewed each year for as long as you like. More of your gift goes to our programming, because sustaining membership eliminates the costs of reminder notices and reduces the cost of processing payments. And since you'll be providing KPFT with a more stable source of income, your monthly gift can contribute to shorter on-air pledge drives. Your gift to KPFT has an even greater impact when you become a sustaining member, so call now.